When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
What I found out when I started the first several chapters, and my intention was so strong to hold and transmit just love and compassion to whoever was listening, because if I have someone who is where I was on the emotional gurney, as I say, I wanted them to feel the possibility that this was okay, that they were going to be able to do this, and it's possible for them if they just have a little tiny bit of willingness. And so at the end of these recording sessions, I was a puddle and I was exhausted. And I thought, gosh, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, who would have thought that reading your own book was going to be so hard? But thank you for saying that, because I was just so concerned that I wasn't delivering in the way that I had intended. So,
well, you delivered, and folks, was talking with Susie DeVille, and here's the thing: when Susie and I talk, we're not quite sure whether to record or not. We just go ahead, because we're just talking. You listen to Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and I'm super excited because we've had Susie on the show before, and I think what I'm really excited about is that Susie's got a new book called Buoyant. And to give you a sense, listeners, it came out yesterday, and I got the audio book, which was instantly delivered through Audible. And in listening to Susie's new book, now I'm familiar with her work, but what an incredible book. And Susie was just talking about recording the audio book. I just want to say, first off, before we launch with Susie, just a wonderful audio book, a great way to connect with what Susie is talking about. And one of the pieces I'll tell you right now, listeners and Susie, I was listening to the book Buoyant, and there's activities in there. And everybody who listens, you know, when you have activities, or if you listen on an audiobook, like, oh, how the heck I have to do something, I'm doing this or that. But one of the things was really cool was there was an activity that Susie was talking about, and I was at work and I was at the desk, and I had 15 minutes prior to a meeting that I had, and Susie said on the audiobook, all right, here's the next activity, and it was about sketching, and you'll need about 15 minutes. And I said, damn, I have no excuse to not do Susie's activity, because my meeting's in 15 minutes. I'm listening. She's talking me and telling me how to do it. And so I did. Anyways, the activity was super accessible. But let's let you talk, Susie. You got the new book Buoyant. We had talked about it when you're on the podcast last time. It's an important book. I'm enjoying it, but that's me. What's it like getting this book out? What's it feeling right now? And what's going on and promoting it?
Well, thank you so much for having me back on. Talking with you is just such a hoot. And it's fun and it's a great brain stretching exercise at the same time. And I described the way the book Being Out feels this morning like this: riding a bike on Christmas morning. Because you have all these fantasies when you're writing the book, when you're on the other side of the production and you're not quite sure how the marketing is going to go, but you let yourself dream that it's going to get out there eventually and that people are going to respond to it. And then, of course, leading up to the launch, the imposter syndrome descends like a curtain and you start worrying, no one's going to like it. No one's going to read it or listen to it. And so when it launched yesterday, and it was just this immediate response from people, and I was just completely elated and relieved, but just felt so much pride and love for all of the people who really surrounded me in community yesterday, cheering me on, sharing the message, putting things on social media. And you're in that category as well, Ken. So thank
you. Of course,
you.
Of course.
It just means everything when you have this tender little fledgling thing that you're putting out into the world and you're hoping that it is received well and that it has, that it garners traction. So to have those people in your life who are so incredibly generous with their talents and their time and their hearts means the world. So I'm so grateful.
Well, and on that, not to jump in there, Susie, but I a lot of people have been waiting for the book. And I think some of the big ideas that you have, you know, in that book, people have known about them. So I understand from the individual authorship, you're like, oh, geez, I mean, I'd feel the same way. Has anybody read this damn thing? I've been talking about it for a while. The launch date's now. Labor Day was yesterday. Everybody's too busy. Everybody's releasing new podcasts and shows and music. How the heck do I get in there? But no, it's noticed. And you know, I think it's something to build on because it's the ideas that you have in there. And I know I think I might have cut you off there, Susie, but one of the things I was just wondering about is the response to the ideas, to the general idea that we talk about things of stagnation. We talk about anxiety overriding our personality or stress, and we think we're doing the right things. We think we're performing the right way. And I think a huge key in your book is an eye towards healthfulness, things like meditation, movement, just sound principles to get to a different place where you're breathing and acting in accordance to yourself. That sounds like a big, big idea, but it is a move towards health, it feels like, to me. So the big ideas in there, Susie, some of the things you're trying to express and moving towards healthfulness, what about those?
Yes. So, you know, the prevalent advice to entrepreneurs and creators of all stripes is that if we're going to reach the success that we crave so much, that we're going to have to work more, we're going to have to find greater productivity, we're going to have to instill more discipline, buckle down, burn the boats, we can sleep when we're dead, all those mythological adages that are thrown at us constantly. And my book is the complete opposite of that advice. And the reason is that when we are in a state of burnout and overwhelm and being stuck, we are riddled with self-doubt. And in that physiological state, the focus of our attention narrows like an animal that's under attack. This literally focuses us just directly in front of us, and we lose that broader perspective, that greater awareness. Our IQ decreases, the anxiety goes up, and also we lose this fantastic access to the executive prefrontal cortex, which serves as the traffic cop for the amygdala part of our brain, which is putting us into this fight or flight stance. So in that energetic state and emotional state, we are feeling as if we have to just do more. And the only path out of this icky feeling that we have is to try to overachieve and run from the sense that we're not good enough, or that we don't have what it takes. And that just puts us further and further away from the ability to access the magic of what is uniquely ours, which is our intuition, our ideas, and our imagination. So my prescription is to begin with the concept that everything stems from inspired action. And when I say inspiration, I don't mean the light bulb over the head, epiphany. I mean the breathing in of beauty, art, nature, doing what we love, doing what brings us alive. Letting that fill the reservoirs of our soul and repair us. That is enough to get us to the next step, which is in my book, what I talk about are the five M's. And you mentioned two of them. One is morning pages, a la Julia Cameron, which are 3 pages of journaling every day. Meditation, movement, moments of inspired learning, and the last is making something. And I had a woman a couple of days ago approach me and say, Susie, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so frightened. I can see this uncertainty in the economy, and my brain is shutting down. And I love what you're talking about in this book. I've been watching, you know, you be interviewed, and I have seen some snippets of the content online, but I'm afraid I can't do this. I'm afraid that I don't have what it takes, and I'm really frightened. And I told her, I said, I wrote the book for you. I mean, you're exactly who I wrote the book for. You're the earlier version of me. You're where I was in 2008. And so I said, let's just break it down. If you can do the inspiration piece and just one of the M's, start with morning pages. And let that be enough to get you going.
Yeah, I in hearing that, and I on the M's, I was recently listening to that section in the book, and for me, you know, I'm a paid critic. I'm a trained critic. Like, look, I studied philosophy in college. Right, everything that appears in words are, you know, there's a critical element to do. Is this true? Is this useful? And then in my work, working for a labor union, my goodness, talk about oppositional and this is wrong and that rule wasn't followed, right? So habituation, you know, around that. But with the, I just want to talk about the M's, and just as far as like an individual talking about what I heard. I'm going to be starting the morning pages because when I've heard about them, there's been a block of me doing those. But I honestly telling you, Susie, I believe morning pages are the number one fundamental thing for me to do to get rid of the trash in my head.
Yes.
So that's where I am with that. I've been meditating for a long time. Always anybody who's meditating wants to do it more, have more time for it with the meditation movement. When the pandemic started, for movement, I started walking deliberately each day. So I went from intermittent, whatever I happened to walk, to 10 to 12,000 steps a day.
Wow.
And with movement. And that helped me survive and live through the pandemic by adding movement. And what was the part about the inspiration? It was, and I know making something is making some, hey, there's something rather than nothing.
Exactly.
Podcast, make stuff.
Yes.
But the inspired part, could you to cover that point
sure.
again?
Sure. That's moments of inspired learning. And
yeah.
when people first hear me talk about it, they're like, oh my gosh, I don't have any more time to cram in. More things to do. And so I just want to be clear, you can read an inspirational quote out of a book.
Yeah.
You can search on YouTube for your favorite poet and let them read to you aloud, which is one of my favorite things. So it doesn't have to be time laden or complicated or distracting. It can just be like a little morsel of fresh perspective and a little little blanket of a soul medicine before you start your day.
I love that. And you know, the thing is, folks who have gone through some trials end up developing the habit. I'm thinking of I'm 13 years sober from alcohol on September 9th. My sobriety date is 999. Won't give up that sobriety date. Yeah, it's pretty mystical. But I'm thinking about folks, alcoholics in the meetings and struggling. They got we got our book, right? Mm-hmm. Like you read one quote from Johnny Schwick in Ohio who, this is how he stayed sober, and you read it, you're like, shit, that's what I needed today. Boom. I mean, there's something that inspires. Somebody said something, that there's a poetic thing. Or so I think in accentuating your point, make it easy. There's beauty, a paint. There's beauty all around. Just grab a piece of beauty and look at it, right?
Yes.
Or listen.
It's so true. I'm so glad that you brought that up because with regard to the inspirational quote that you were referencing, I believe that it's not only the content of the quote that we're reading that makes us change our energetic state, but it's also this almost mystical connection that quote came to you in that moment is just a beautiful evidence of grace. I mean, to me, yeah. that makes you feel like there's this, I'm being held and guided in a benevolent universe, and
yeah.
that can change your perception. That can get you just 5 yards down the field in the right direction. And with regard to seeing beauty, we are able to access beauty. You don't have to live. It certainly helps if you live in a place that's beautiful, but you can find beauty on the top of your desk. If we shift our perception and we look for what may be considered unexpected beauty, we can find surprising evidence of incredible design or shadows or the way that the light on your desk has been constructed, whatever. You can find amazement and wonder if you just go searching for it.
Yeah. We're talking with Susie DeVille, and a nice time to chat with Susie. Her new book, Buoyant, available all major outlets and via audiobook. Really, really good book. And listeners, I want to tell you, like, personally, you know, I think nowadays a lot of folks are looking for, you know, self-help, and it's like anything in human life. It's all varied. It's some of it's super, some is good. And I know maybe a lot of us have heard recently through the pandemic about things like breathing, but these are some sound fundamentals. And I told you this, Susie, or at least hinted at it when I sent you an email. I think, you know, for me, look, I'm a union guy here in Oregon, and you know, I'm down with your ideas and the powerful ideas, and we have that connection. But I think a lot of times people are like, I don't know, like what the heck? There's this book, and I'm supposed to be buoyant, and I'm like, and politics are shit in this country, and it's 110 degrees, and you know, like there's this people are struggling, and you know, there's this kind of skepticism or something. And what I want to say, and maybe you know, you can address that, Susie, around on the skepticism. What I want to say is that one of the pieces for me as an American 50-year-old male that I learned from my mom, even though she never said it out loud, was that I have gotten my advice and help, and I've taken risks and just grabbed and moved towards it. And a lot of times it's feminine. Or seem to be feminine from the outside. I'll give you an example. There's a book called "You Are the Medicine" by Aisha Frost, and the cover of the book is illustrated by Steph Littlebird. She's been on the show, and it's a beautiful book based on I don't want to say Native wisdom, but you know, Native thinking and knowledge. And also very feminine, tied to the moons and what they mean. Now, when you go through this book, the activities are for everybody. And the overarching thing, you might think, moons, that's women. And one of the things I'm talking about, the influence of my mom, was I will move into these areas without these preconceptions of how the ideas or who's saying these ideas and to be around them. That process has been really useful to me, but I think that's overcoming a skepticism or a gender identity, or where do I get my information from? I think maybe all of this can lead to maybe a skepticism or reluctance to listen to you, Susie. Yeah. But what do you think about that? You encounter that, or sure. How do you talk about that?
Well, yeah. I understand that position. I because we're trained in our culture to believe that the world is set up a certain way, and that entrepreneurship and self-help may be these esoteric notions that seemingly don't apply to our lives. And so the way that I like to talk about entrepreneurship is not just it's not just the world of people who are starting businesses and running businesses. It is a very empowering way to move through the world, and it's a very empowering mindset. So if you are a union guy, or someone who has is employed within a corporation or the government or a nonprofit, these principles are so important for everybody, because what they do is bring agency back to your own life. They return you to a place of self-trust, to a place of agility, and to a place of being able to persuade others to consider your vantage point, your opinion, what you're advocating for. And I know no other human who's doing important work as you are doing, where those skill sets are not just vital to your everyday existence and to the work that you're doing. All of us, I believe, are seeking to have some kind of an impact in the world, and we have so many global and national and regional challenges that having an entrepreneurial mindset sets you up in such a powerful way to be successful. And if you lean away from the concept of self-help, which can tend to be steeped in this notion that we have these defects that we have to bleach out of ourselves in order to have value. And that's absolutely not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about embracing this stretching of ourselves, embracing learning and going on a playful adventure that's more about possibility and optimism than it is about running away from some version of ourselves that we don't think is good enough. It's a very different mindset, a very different energetic state. So if you approach things from a, well, let's just see, or let's experiment, or I wonder what's possible, then you open up to all kinds of new ideas. And that serves us in our personal lives and in our professional lives, whether we have a business or not.
Yeah. Well, I've found, and just talking to you, Susie, about it, like the general dynamic that you describe of the state you were in and that we can get in of burdened, of unhealthiness, of not being in accord with ourselves, about not using our creative energy. That's a state that we could find any of us. And I felt myself at times deeply within it. Recently, there's been things I pushed myself to as far as not looking for more inspiration or viewing what I'm doing more in a more inspirational manner with people. And one of the pieces I find, Susie, and I'm really interested in your thoughts on this, and I get it. You know, like I said, I love the book, and I'm down, and I'm doing the work, and that's me. My work is connected with probably a lot of people that you work with to a lot of other people, and I think one of the things that has happened for me through some difficult times in COVID was I have not been able to see myself, my work, which I think is fundamentally sound as far as worker empowerment, reflected in those who I influence because of the circumstances. And it's just, that was a dynamic where I would, you know, interpolate that into myself and saying, I'm not seeing the opening and in the breathing, and I was trying to do it myself. Now, I've tweaked certain things, and certain things have changed, and I see opening up around me in my work, creatively and with work. So right around this point, I'm feeling components of what you're talking about, and by doing the work and getting towards that, it's almost like a near term example of, you know, of doing that. What do you find about the individual, right? And it, you know, you're doing the work, and if you have trouble in going to the world, you know, and you're going to the world with this, how should we approach that when we're doing good work? And the example is, I'm doing your stuff, I'm trying to reflect it, I'm trying to put that energy out there, I'm taking myself. And now I'm 12 years into this, nothing's changing, you know, like that type of dynamic.
So when you say nothing's changing, you're referring to the response in the marketplace?
Yeah, I think we should, you know, be comfortable with our worth and what we're doing. But I could say even for myself, a lot of times we take the out there as the results oriented that, all right, this is what I did. How come it's not being reflected back to me on the outside?
Gotcha.
That dynamic. Yeah.
Well, I think that that's something that all of us have a challenge with in any field, whether we're an entrepreneur or working within a corporation or are employed elsewhere. There is this incredible human desire to be a part of an interconnected community that shares our value, shares our values, and also embraces the gifts that we are putting out into the world. And so when that is not rapidly done and we do not receive evidence quickly, we can turn in on ourselves and we can believe that that's evidence that what we're doing is wrong. That's evidence that what we're about is not embraced. And we can get very frustrated and we can feel very isolated as a result. And I can say that the path through that is simply to continue doing the work, because it is like a snowball effect and people will continue to come to the circle of you and support you and respond to your work in greater and greater numbers. The more clear you are on what brings you alive, and the more clear you are on what is you authentically and what is not you, the more clear your desired market can feel, see, and hear you. Because the competition is insane. The noise in the marketplace is incredibly high. So if we're watching what everybody else is doing and we somehow believe that we have to copy this or take on that advice or fold ourselves into a pretzel to appear in a certain way, we've lost that magnetic part of us. And so the magnetic part of us becomes supercharged when we are in alignment with who we truly are, and we have gotten to the gut and of who we truly are and are working and living and creating from that place. So how do we do that? I firmly believe the inspiration piece and the five M's on a daily basis. And you don't have to do all five things at the same time. But when we are making and keeping daily promises to ourselves, we are showing up in the world in a very different energetic stance. And that is insanely attractive to the marketplace. And I would argue that nothing is sexier to the market than somebody who is creating and being their true selves. And we're afraid because we don't want to be judged. We're afraid to be too visible sometimes because we're always going back and forth between the imposter syndrome and I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if we stay in small wins every day, the market is going to catch up to you. I promise.
And thanks Susie, just dropping some straight up wisdom. Thank you for sometimes just dropping straight up wisdom. All right. Just profound thoughts. I love it. It's very helpful. And I love to hear you carry us along with that. That makes a lot of sense. But now let's talk about, like, you got a book out. Let's talk about like the wild stuff that's going on, like with the book and like events and that type of thing. Was there a trip to Paris that I read about?
Yes. So
like, what's up with that? This ain't no regular old book, Susie DeVille. It's too late, folks, listeners. But you could have like gone to Paris and stuff.
Yes.
So tell us what's going on with the book,
well,
all the hoopla and everything.
Let me tell you about why Paris is in the mix.
There's no question. Once you see Paris, there's no question why it's in the mix. Paris is Paris.
Well,
go ahead.
I was a world traveler have been a world traveler since I was 16 years old. I was very blessed to have parents who were enamored with travel, and I was taken places. And then when I moved up to Boston and started working in the publishing industry, I started traveling again. I traveled, I backpacked through Europe after I graduated from college. I moved overseas and lived in London for a couple of years and traveled all over the world then. Then when I moved back to Highlands and had a family, the international travel came to a screeching halt. And in 2014, I started traveling again, and I chose Paris as my first destination. And being in that city after being in Europe, after having not been for over two decades, and I realized, speaking of doing things that bring you alive, I had put the jumper cables back to my soul, and I was just electric in that in city, and I was so having so much fun. So when I was thinking about a fun promotion for the book, I wanted to have a trip to Paris be a part of that bonus structure, so that someone who maybe needs that same jump start to their soul would have the same opportunity. And so I included that as a promotional item for the book, and then drew the winner yesterday during the live stream.
Yay.
Yes. So she's losing her mind. She's so excited.
So happy for Paris.
Yes.
I went to Paris once. I was like, you know, again, cynical mind. I'm like, everybody said Paris is the bomb. It can't be the bomb. I mean, it's not. I go to Paris once and I'm like, oh my God, the city is love. Like, throw me into Musée d'Orsay, throw me into these art museums, stick me in the room with Monets that are bigger than twice the size of me.
Yeah.
And I'll see you in 2030.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. So that type of dynamic. And what else with the, you know, talking to a bunch of people.
Yes.
Promotion.
So
what else?
I'm going to be traveling. I'm doing a conference in Bloomington, Indiana, at the end of this month, which is called the Be Golden event. I really recommend folks who are looking to re-energize. It's really an opportunity to hit the reset button and just get a new perspective and be with a lot of very fun creators. And from there, I go to Boston to the NACI conference, and I'll be presenting there. So if anybody is going to be in Bloomington from, let's see, I get there on the 28th of September. I'll be there through the 1st, and then I'll be in Boston until the 8th of October. So I would love to meet up with folks if you're going to be in those places. And then I'm going to go to New York and do some book-related activities there, but I haven't gotten that itinerary quite nailed down yet. And I'm working on some really spectacular promotions, which I can't disclose just yet. But so there's some really fun things cooking.
Get on at the end of this, Susie will drop down some of the, you know, where to find her and everything. Get on the mailing list. A lot of great ideas, a lot of activity. I read the damn Paris Post 2 hours afterwards, but I've been there. So I almost been like, I don't want to put in because there's going to be somebody who needs to get in there and get to Paris for the first time and have my first time at Paris later, or your rediscovery, you know, being there and being like, oh, damn. And I think for me, you know, I think there's no great secret in this. You might feel the same way, Susie. It's the art. It's the, for me, it's these old streets. It's these just beauty or celebration of beauty.
Yes.
Celebration of beauty, or pointing out things like, this is really cool and beautiful, look at it.
It's the entire culture is devoted to beauty and design and the quality of one's life. I remember in December when I was there a couple of years ago, and I was in a cafe in the 6th arrondissement, which is one of my favorite parts of the city. And I was underneath one of those little strip heaters, and they give you little blankies you know, for out sitting outside and having escargot and this fabulous meal. And I'm thinking, I mean, and so everything is designed for social enjoyment, incredible food, beautiful displays in the windows, and joie de vivre. So how can you not love it?
No, it's good. I'm really excited about that. And folks, if you can catch Susie over there in Bloomington, Indiana, which I don't know, I went through there once. It was a wild spot to me. Indiana is always a fascinating place. And Boston, near my old stomping grounds. Come Boston, you gotta check out Susie DeVille, man. This is great stuff. And buoyant with details coming along. Actually, Susie, why don't you tell the folks right now how to find you and how to find all the stuff, just so we don't forget at the end.
Sure.
Everybody's find you.
So the book is called Buoyant: The Entrepreneur's Guide to Becoming Wildly Successful, Creative, and Free. And it's also for students, visionary leaders, creators, advocates of social change. So you can just take entrepreneur out and place one of those other words in the title, and the content works for just about everyone. And my website is Innovation and Creativity Institute.com. And if you want to find the book online, it's available at all the booksellers online, as well as brick and mortar stores. So you can tuck into your favorite bookstore and get a copy there if you like.
As I mentioned to you, I'm listening to audiobook, and I was just wondering if you could mention about the physical copy of the book. Is there some, like, around the activities and stuff like that? Are there prompts? I know it's a book, but what's the general layout?
Well, first of all, it's very pretty.
Very pretty. Very pretty.
And it has French flaps. Speaking of Paris.
Oh, goodness.
So you have.
I need a copy for the French flaps. Anyways,
You
could have sold me. You could have sold me French flaps, and I didn't even know exactly what they were. I'll buy some French flaps. I think I'm making a good call.
But I'll show
what
you.
What else?
The book has exercises that are noted by little sketch pad or journal icons and pencils and pens, and then there are inspirational quotes in here, and also little sections every now and then called inspiration beacons that pop up. It's beautifully designed. This was very intentionally done because I wanted the book to represent something that felt possible, accessible, and fun.
Very inviting.
Yes.
I want it to, and
actually, when you hold it in your hands, the cover has a coating on it that is such a yummy tactile experience.
Damn, we're getting deep into this. I thought my question might have flopped. Tell me about the book, and you'd be like, "Hey, Ken, there's printed words inside."
Oh no, this is tactile. Paper analog person. You will cuddle this book.
nothing better than book geek love. We're down with this. That's wonderful. I was interested because I was listening to it, you know, and obviously very different experience. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I bet you Susie has this like physical copy, like set up, like just the right way as well. Yeah.
Yes, it's so pretty. I love it.
Yeah. Everybody, that's available. And of course, like I mentioned on the audiobook, Audible, and it was a very nice price. Again, super, super accessible to get into the learning that Susie has. So, all right. So the book's out yesterday. Folks, you should check it out. One of the points I wanted to mention, Susie, and as you know, we jump around a bit. I think you asked for the questions. I don't even know if I've asked them. I just get excited talking to you. So one of the things I was really, I noticed as far as an inflection within the book was, And this part was really cool. When I'm listening to it sometimes, I don't know if we're talking about healing yourself, being creative, or the entrepreneur part. It's intermixed, and you have these creative activities. And I'm like, wait a second. I didn't know we're talking about being creative. Like, if I stopped and thought about it. But there's this flow between it where it isn't so like, I'm doing this because of that, I'm doing this because of that, that you're doing it and you flow into it. And that was a piece that was really noticeable to me, because I think if you can look at books that don't work or don't succeed, even though they're trying, it's like you have some description and something like that. Then you have this clunky activity that's like, it's like jarring. It's not immersed. And what I'm saying is, when you're asking the listener to do and help themselves, it's an immersed experience that really delves into creativity. And me doing the podcast, that's the main thing I'm asking, is like, what, you know, like, what joy is creativity bringing? It? Like, why do you do it all the time? So that beautiful source in there, you just flow right between folks being creative in your book. And I thought that was very successful. Can you tell us how you approached the activities and how they were supposed to, you know, really support and get folks doing what they're supposed to be doing for themselves?
Yes. Well, first of all, I have to say, my tail is wagging with joy to hear you describe the exercise experience, because that was precisely my intention. I wanted to help introduce the world of creativity to the overwhelmed individual who may believe that that world is just not accessible to them, that they don't have the membership, that when the art talent was being passed around by somebody's wands, that they didn't get tapped on the head.
Yep.
So in order to get around those very common, natural, normal human fears and feelings, I wanted to come in almost from the side of the stage and just kind of whisper in your ear, here's something that you should try, and then back up and get out of the way. Because when we're in that fight or flight mode, a gentle suggestion we more easily adopt something like that. We more easily will try. But if it feels like school or it feels like something else that we didn't enjoy or didn't succeed in, we're going to just skip over it, and it's not going to have the ability to transform us. So I wanted to help people just sort of start in the shallow end of the pool and build their courage and build their confidence little by little as the book progressed.
Yeah, then maybe towards the end or 2 weeks after, you got a habit. Once you have the good habit,
yes,
you're in. You're in once you have the good habit, because it's the thing that you do.
And it's working on you 24 hours a day. It's changing you 24 hours a day. And that point that we were talking about earlier about your market sits up and starts paying attention in a very, very new way.
Yeah, you said, I don't know, it stuck in my head. You said you look sexy to the market. And I'm like, all right, let's get this. let's get this podcast going here. I'm talking entrepreneurship and well, maybe it's the waltzes in Paris and stuff like that, you know. But no, seriously, Susie, there's an energy to it. There's an energy to it, and I think, you know, we could talk about your book, but I think it's always, you know, like, I'm an organizer, right? I'm an arts organizer, and I'm like a union organizer. I see the people who embody and who inhabit what they're doing. There's an authenticity there, and there's such a huge draw around that. It's not like people aren't good or they're not worth it. They can be confused and suffering. But when you're, yes, the book, but yes, you saying, you know, shit, like, there's a certain point I don't want to live with the heaviness, the burden, the anxiety, the always needing to do another thing, or putting massive amounts of energy where I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. And just being like, whoa, okay. Like resetting that. And I think it's important not to remove the personal, because you convey that and you communicate that from an organizing and author standpoint. And there's such power in that. I think sometimes we hide from that, right? Artists, or we're taught maybe to hide from that. And I think celebrating it and saying, you know, these are the things, these are the habits that I have. This is the outlook that I have. And here's how I'm connecting with what's really important to me. Be showy about it. Be showy about it, because we must think it's a good path. I think it's a good path. You think it is. And there's power to that. And that's the piece that I really find moving. And it's really important in what you're doing.
Well, I love all of what you just said, in particular that it is empowering and it is attractive and it is all about your energy. And I know how woo-woo that sounds. I know, as a former frustrated, overwhelmed, cynical human, how that sounds almost like some kind of mystical crazy talk. But
Santa Claus, right? You know?
Exactly. But it is available to us. The path out of the place where we are not living a joyful life and we don't feel good in our own skin and we feel a leadenness to our spirit, and all we're craving is to feel this lightness of being and this ability to connect with work that we love and people that we love and impact the world and make a mark in a way that we know that at the end of our lives, we can look back and say, I made a contribution here and my life mattered. So in order for us to access that, we don't have to jump through a zillion hoops. That's the old lie that we have been taught our whole lives. In fact, doing less is the way forward. To feel what is true for us means sometimes we have to tune everything else out for a while and just be able to hear ourselves think and to be able to access our own intuition and our own guidance system. That will power us through our days and our work in very unique ways, because it's truly guided from our authentic essential selves.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's as a creator, as an entrepreneur, as a human, that's based in just the right, you know, in the right direction. Yeah, I have this thing from the host, as you know, Susie, sometimes like I'm listening to you. I'm like, okay, you're like, I'm just listening. Now, wait a second. I get a host this gosh darn thing. The other host problem, which I must address, is that every time I talk to Susie, I think Susie and I can talk for about 10 hours. But you know, I just wanted to say, Susie, and I remember when we talked last time, great conversation and honestly feeling changed and feeling the energy and the ideas, the excitement around the ideas. I believe, you know, we share that. And I remember that from last time, just like really enjoying the conversation. But for the listeners, obviously we've been talking about with Susie DeVille about Buoyant. Just a really wonderful and helpful book, really pointed towards our authentic selves. And as creators, as humans, that's a big thing. That's a big thing for us in kind of recalibrating and getting where you need to go. The activities are fun, and I'm not an activity guy. Like, I'm so terrible at activities. That said, I'm doing more. And the habit, like we talked about, Susie, you do it 5 days and then you're like, shit, that's what I do in the morning.
Yep.
Then that's what I do in the morning. So that changes right there. Long-winded way to say is we always have to end with Susie, unfortunately. Just best wishes for the book. Listeners, get to the book. Susie, in this moment right now with what's going on with the book and the energy and what you're doing, any kind of final comments to take us out about, you know, what the world is right now and what your book is doing, that type of thing?
Well, I want to just let the person know who may be listening to this, who feels maybe alone and overwhelmed and stuck or filled with self-doubt, just to start with the first M. And that's the Morning Pages M, which is the brainchild of Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way. Just start with 3 pages, getting your thoughts out onto a piece of paper, and let that be enough. Let that be your starting point. And as you continue to, as you know, Ken just mentioned, build that habit, you can add in some other things. But just let that 5 minutes be yours. And let that be the ignition for changing your entire life. So I wish you all the best. And I hope that if you have questions on anything that's in the book or anything that we've talked about today, I'm going to give you my email address, which is Susie, S-U-S-I-E, at innovationcompass.com. And the website is innovationandcreativityinstitute.com. You can reach me either place, and I always offer to people a free 30-minute coaching session. It's not a sales pitch, because I had a time in my life where I could not afford coaching, and so I very happily offer that to everyone who's listening.
Dang. Thanks, Susie. Well, you might figure I say, hey, folks, take advantage. Really, really appreciate you, Susie. And as you know, the episodes that I do, I mean, they're important. They're important. They're good ways to, and they don't have to be all like completely serious, but they're important about like ways to live and ways to create. And I love the energy that you infuse in just creativity, and then that how that can help us, you know, push through our days. Sometimes they're just tough days, and if you got some of those habits, it gets you through the day. And some days I think maybe with those habits that you do, you produce a glorious thing, a glorious event, or a glorious moment, or a glorious painting, or goodness, hey, a glorious podcast.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Susie. Best of luck with this book. Everybody jump in, and it's a good time for this type of energy in the world. Susie DeVille's buoyant. And guess what? I know for sure we'll be talking to Susie in the near future. Thanks again, Susie.
Thank you so much. It's been so delightful to be with you again, Ken.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.